During his travels down the Mississippi River some 350 years ago, an explorer discovered the tradition of the peace pipe among the Native Americans. The peace pipe was shared between tribes to signify they were establishing a peace treaty. That peace pipe was so highly respected in these early days that just simply presenting the peace pipe during a battle between warring tribes would immediately stop the fighting. Well, the Bible reveals that mankind is actually involved in a battle. It's a losing battle against God. And our war with God is over the matter of sin. So the question is, how do we as sinners make peace with God? Well, in the Old Testament, it didn't have anything to do with smoking a peace pipe, but it had everything to do with bringing a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sin. After the burnt offering we looked at in our last study, when that was given, the peace offering was a way to restore fellowship with God. The peace offering also was used to praise God with thanksgiving. I mean, peace with a holy God is great news, isn't it? Well, now we're at Leviticus chapter 3 today, and let me say that the peace offering, according to verse 5 here, was always offered after the burnt offering, never by itself. In other words, the burnt offering dealt with sin. The peace offering celebrated the forgiveness of sin. Now, we're told here in this chapter that the animal could be male or female from the herd. It didn't matter here in verse 1. It could be a lamb down here in verse 7. It could be a goat, we're told here in verse 12. But every animal had to be without blemish. In other words, it couldn't have a broken leg or some kind of skin disease. It couldn't be some old animal the Israelite wanted to get rid of. No, they were supposed to bring their blue ribbon animal for sacrifice. Why? Well, because these sacrifices pointed to the unblemished, sinless, glorious Lord Jesus, who will be sacrificed on an altar of a wooden cross 1,500 years after the book of Leviticus was written. Now, verse 2 tells us that the one making the offering has to take the animal to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that is, to the very doorway of the tabernacle. And there the priest will inspect the animal to make sure it's acceptable. Now, keep in mind that back in these days, coming to the tabernacle brought you into the presence of God, who was manifested there in that pillar of fire by night and that pillar of smoke by day, hovering, as it were, above the tabernacle. You would have been within a few feet of the very presence of the God of the universe. That must have been an awesome, fearful, weighty experience. And once you arrive there with your animal, verse 2 says you were to lay your hand on that animal and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. That meant you were admitting that this innocent animal was taking your place, receiving the death penalty for your sin against a holy God. Now, verse 2 tells us here, Aaron's sons shall throw the blood of that animal against the sides of the altar. That's that bronze altar that stood out there in the tabernacle courtyard. And as the blood splashed up against that altar, you, as the one bringing the sacrifice, would have had that sense of peace and assurance that God has made a way for you to have your sin forgiven and to have this peace treaty, as it were, written in blood. Now, over in Leviticus chapter 7, we're given some more details about this peace offering. Here in verse 11, we read, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil." So here's someone who wants to thank the Lord for a peace treaty with God, and you'll notice here all kinds of bread are added to this offering. You've got wafers and fine flour and loaves of bread all lathered over, mixed with oil. You see, this is true, abundant gratitude. You're not holding back. I mean, think about it. The absolute worst kind of thanksgiving to give to God is half-hearted. You know, it isn't sincere or real. We just sort of go through the motions and, you know, we say, well, thank you, Lord, or we sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, without any real sense of thanksgiving. So the Lord is building into this offering a reminder of how to do it right. And by the way, he knows the difference between wholehearted and half-hearted thanksgiving. This bread is to be coated or sprinkled with oil. Oil symbolized gladness. Both Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 speak of the oil of gladness while describing the salvation given to us by the Lord. And by the way, these loaves of bread were baked in nearby ovens at the tabernacle. You can imagine how this aroma mixed with true confession of sin just brought to someone's heart this sense of gratitude and happiness to be right with God. The truth is, we have so much to thank God for every single day. I have read that the average person takes approximately 23,000 breaths every day. That's a lot of breaths. One author writes, you know, we tend to thank God for things that take our breath away. That's fine. But we should thank him for every other kind of breath we take as well. Now, we read here that the thankful person bringing the peace offering has provided the animal to offer and then portions of it to barbecue. And along with that is some more baked bread. So more than likely, this person's entire family has come along to enjoy God's peace in their family member's life as they celebrate together. So look at this scene here. You've got all this roasted meat, this freshly baked bread. And now what are they going to do? Well, over here in chapter 7, we're told that this peace offering is the only offering that worshipers themselves get to eat. And the priests join in too. So you can have this potluck right here on the spot. Listen, when you have peace with God, the end result is a feast of joy. It's the joy of peace. It's the joy of fellowship with God. Now, these offerings mentioned in Leviticus chapter 3 didn't have anything to do with smoking a peace pipe, but they did signal that a peace treaty was indeed signed between a holy God and a sinful yet forgiven follower of God. Again, this manual for the Levites, Leviticus, points us to the ultimate, the permanent means of peace with God. And that's a peace treaty signed in red, blood red. It's established how? Well, through the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ, whose body was given and whose blood was shed on our behalf. You can't have peace with God if you reject the Prince of Peace, our Messiah and Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified, that is made right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You know what that means for the believer? No more war with God. No more fear of wrath from God. A peace treaty has been offered, and by faith in Jesus Christ alone, we sign our name to it. And with that comes everlasting peace with God. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.